come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll discuss all the latest revolving the New York Giants. And we'll also get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Stephen Miller, who is Damon Snacks Harrison's defensive line coach at William Penn University. So he will talk about how Harrison made the jump to the NFL from an NAIA school, and he'll also get into what the Giants can expect from his play on the defensive line. So we certainly look forward to that. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your tweets. Also to note, Giants.com/bracket. We have now entered round two of our March Madness tournament, so you can head to the website to vote now for the round two matchups. Check that out as we will continue to update you on the website as well as here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. The latest in free agency we'll delve into. We'll get into some of your thoughts on the draft. Yesterday, we went over the Ohio State prospects, by far one of the biggest classes in Ohio State history that is set to present itself in the NFL draft. So we'll certainly hit on a lot of topics. And, you know, free agency is starting to slow down, Anita, but yesterday New England made a few maneuvers to bolster their offensive line/tight ends.
Tweet?
I did not.
My tweet was, why the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets should just take 2016 off. Are you kidding me? Gronk and the Black Unicorn together for Tom Brady?
In addition to some of the other ones.
I want to say they brought in Chris Hogan, right? Wide receiver for – I apologize. I've been on vacation for a week. I literally just got back. I flew in late last night. So I've been paying attention to everything from Miami, from South Florida. And it's been really exciting. It's the first chance you and I have had to talk about all the new faces here and the excitement. I know that you've been hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm sure Giants fans have to be absolutely thrilled with all the moves that the Giants have made. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. The big news last night, as soon as I'm on Twitter, of course, that's where everything breaks these days, right, is on social media. And I saw and I said to myself, I mean, my goodness, it's just like – that's going to be ridiculous. You know, if they utilize him properly, I'm a strong believer. I think we didn't see the full potential Martellus Bennett while he was here just because of the offense that this team was running at that point in time. I think if he was here now under Ben McAdoo's system, I think it would be a lot different. But nonetheless, you know, he's definitely – what's going to be interesting is he's definitely a character in the locker room. I really enjoyed covering him. But he's Martellus Bennett. He is a different cat, and that's going to be really interesting. How does he gel? How does he fit into that Patriots locker room? But on the football field, Lance, I'll tell you what, man, I mean, defenses are going to have to really scheme and come up with something special when you've got two very talented, athletic, pass-catching tight ends. You know, what this is going to do for Gronk is ridiculous.
Well, I think the blocking aspect of Martellus Bennett's game is probably the biggest benefit that New England gets, because their offensive line obviously went through a number of injuries and they had some issues as a result of those injuries. So to get somebody that could come in and provide that extra balance on the offensive line, I think is a big bonus. You mentioned Martellus Bennett, obviously, who was with the Giants. He had his breakout campaign when he came over from the Dallas Cowboys because he was a backup. Then he became a starter, and you certainly saw his full potential. He did move on to Chicago, and now he's with New England, but they certainly have a dynamic 1-2 punch at the tight end position. And, you know, we've talked about that a lot, just big picture perspective in the NFL, how it's a copycat league and a lot of teams would like to have two tight ends, one that could block, one that could go out and run routes. And I think a lot of the teams that have had success in recent years here in the NFL have had at least a few options at the tight end spot. The Bears, I think, were able to part ways with a guy like Martellus Bennett because of the emergence of Zach Miller last season, who they just re-signed. And New England obviously was looking to gain some additional draft picks as well as providing more weapons.
You don't honestly think that they're going to keep Martellus Bennett on the line of scrimmage, do you?
Well, I think in certain schemes they will.
He's a top 10 receiving tight end in the NFL.
Well, but in certain schemes, I think they're going to use him as a blocker.
Yeah, I mean,
given his versatility.
I mean, that's definitely a role that a tight end has to play, but, like, I'm not. that's not the first thing I thought of when I saw that they signed Martellus Bennett. I'm thinking another offensive weapon for Tom Brady to go to and defenses. You know, when defenses have to go up against the Patriots, you have to take care of Gronk. How many strong linebackers, fast, strong linebackers do you have that can match up against Gronk and Martellus Bennett at the same time? I mean, because think about the position battle. Corners can't cover these guys. So now you're limited to linebackers and strong safeties to take both Gronk and Martellus Bennett out of a game plan. It's just going to be ridiculous. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous.
Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Since we have a guest at the bottom of the hour, we want to try to get to as many phone calls and tweets as possible in the first 30 minutes, and then after the interview, we'll finish up with more of your feedback on a variety of topics, so let's not waste any time. Let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat, and we start things off with Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? Lance,
doing
Anita,
well,
how are you?
Hi.
How's things with you?
Good. Hanging in there. You know, getting ready to watch some college basketball while I talk to you here.
Understandable.
It's an exciting day. Well, things certainly, you know, with the Giants, things certainly have slowed down. I don't want to say have come to a screeching halt. I'm sure there are some things going on, but you know, after the initial splurge, it's been a little slow, and tell you the truth, starting to get a little anxious, and you know, trying to rationalize what I've called the slowness of the situation here. You know, maybe in the end, it's. All the safeties that we have on the roster are going to be the safeties that we take into the season. You know, I did a little breakdown last night, just, you know, with nothing better to do. You know, the last 3 years, we've had 21 draft picks available to us. Now, we dealt a couple, but let's just start with that number 21. We've spent 7 of those draft choices on safeties. That's one-third of our draft choices on safeties. I mean, maybe in the end, Jerry, you know, they're sitting there and they're saying to themselves, well, you know, it's time for these guys to, you know, show us something. I know there's been injuries involved, but could that possibly be the strategy? I mean, we're shying away from safeties.
Well, Lynn, I will say this. You know, as you know, we hosted the show from the Combine. At that point in time, every head coach and every general manager addressed the media at some point in time. And,
right.
And when Jerry addressed the media, he was very passionate and very strong and very adamant about the fact that he believes in the talent that's on this roster in the safety position. Unfortunately, 3 of the guys that they were really expecting a lot of to contribute for to last year,
right,
went down, and they're still on this roster. So
yeah.
You know, I think there is a big belief with Jerry and this organization and the scouting team and the coaching staff here that if, and I know it's a big if because we know what's been happening here lately. Hopefully, it's a different day in 2016.
Yeah.
But if these guys can stay healthy, I truly believe, from the front office down, that they have a lot of belief in the talent that's on this roster to step up and really play some solid football.
Well, I'm kind of glad to hear that. I mean, when you devote as much as we did in terms of the draft, that many picks over the last 3 years, and I know injuries have complicated things and, you know, made us redraft the safety and so forth. So I'm pleased to hear that, and I have every confidence that you know, it's there on the roster. Now let me try to piggyback on that and try to make a point here. You know, we're talking about draft picks, and you can look all over this roster, and there are former draft picks still on the roster. And you know, let me be bold and say this: we're really not going to get to 8-8 or go beyond 8-8 next year, unless some of these guys really excel. Lance, you made a wonderful point yesterday when talking about the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, before last season started, nobody had them picked, you know, to win that division. A lot of the so-called experts had them finishing third. You know, and what happened? Well, they started badly. By mid-season, everything turned around two years ago. And everything turned around, and everybody started playing better. I mean, they literally, I know this might be an exaggeration, but everybody on that team last year, 2015, let me be clear, 2015, played better than they did the year before. I mean, it was unbelievable how these guys suddenly started to play better. And I think that's what the Giants need. I mean, you know, we need 00. We need Bromley. You know, we need those safeties to play. I mean, it's round. We got to get something out of these last three drafts.
Well, Len, what you're referring to is the depth chart. And I've been emphasizing that time and time again. Everybody gets so caught up in the 11 starters on both sides of the field. And I make the claim the true tone of the team is actually set by the complementary guys who are going to step in. If somebody goes down, they're going to play special teams. You know, that's what really makes or breaks a team. It's the depth chart. And I agree with you. I mean, it's a big year for a lot of those players. I would emphasize what Anita threw out, and I've been saying this on previous shows. I think for the tight end position and the safety position on this team, I think the Giants are going to anticipate and see what the group currently on the roster has to offer before potentially we see a splash of some sort. I think they like the youth at both of those positions, and they're going to let those guys spread their wings in spring and see how they can grow before perhaps they make some type of a big move to bring in somebody from the outside. But, you know, that's all about the depth chart and whether or not these guys are going to continue to develop.
Yeah, and I personally am okay with that. I mean, I believe in the four guys that we signed, particularly JPP. I was really happy to see us re-sign JPP. In fact, I frankly would have gone multi-year on JPP, but that's a whole different thing. But in any event, I believe in those guys. But I think the key to it all and long-term success is the draft. I mean, look at the Patriots. You know, they had 11 last year. I don't know what they got this year, but it's probably beyond seven. I mean, it's probably in double figures, you know, again this year. And I mean, that's real. Then you can do some things. You can draft players. I mean, you know, last year the Patriots drafted a long snapper in the fourth round, the kid from Navy. I mean, you know, when you have multiple draft picks, you can do so much. Now, interestingly enough, Carolina last year only had five picks. They had one less than we did. Again, another thing back on Carolina, the point you were making yesterday about Carolina, everybody upgraded their game. I know everybody's an exaggeration, but Cam got better and everybody else got better.
Well, he helped make everybody better around him, Len. I mean, I think that's important to note. The quarterback's play, you know, elevated a lot of the play of the players around him. And you had wide receivers that stepped up in the absence of one of their top guys.
Yes.
And they also have a lot of depth
yes.
on that defensive line, so they were able to rotate players.
Yeah, it's a very good point. With all due respect, their first two picks, the wide receiver and Shaq Thompson, you know, the linebacker, safety, whatever they were playing him at, you know, they got a lot of mileage out of those guys, particularly the wide receiver, no question about it. But, I mean, that's what I see as, you know, these draft picks, come on, it's time. You know, you're not first-year players anymore. Things have to get better. And, you know, the thing about the safeties being on the roster, you know, maybe Bobby Hart's the answer at guard. I mean, maybe that's the answer. You know, a big time, you know, I know he was a seventh-round pick, but so while I'm a little anxious about, you know, we didn't do much since the first day of free agency, I'm starting to rationalize it all by saying, well, maybe some of the answers are right there on our roster, and these guys are just, they're going to have to come through like we thought they were going to come through. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You
great
got
to
it,
talk to you guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And I would agree with him. I think that you need to rely on the options currently on your roster. As many free agents as the Giants had, Anita, you can't expect, you know, them to completely turn over the roster. They want the players that are still young to develop and contribute. I think players like Matt Burhey, Bobby Hart, Will Ty are three that come to mind that are going to have an opportunity come the spring.
You know, this is a guy that, again, you know, I just got back from vacation. I'm not sure exactly, you know, you guys, I'm sure a lot of excitement last week with free agency. Not sure if you talked about 00. You know, last year, we went into last year saying, all right, here are the two players that we really want to see take another step forward, and that was Demontre Moore and Reuben Randall. Unfortunately, we know what that situation is like right now. It didn't happen, so right now they're not on this roster. One guy that I really want to see, I'm excited to see, is 00. What I'm excited about is the talent that the Giants have brought in on the defensive line. My goodness. I mean, how exciting must that be for 00 coming in, not a lot of pressure to immediately perform and contribute, also learn and play behind that talented of an offensive line to come in? If I'm him, I'm ecstatic. I'm excited. I mean, this arguably has the potential of being one of the best defensive lines in the NFL next season. So if I'm 00, I'm really excited, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do, learning, developing behind all these guys.
Well, he's probably going to be a rotational player to start, and he's also going to be a key special teamer, given the fact that, you know, there's a lot of depth in front of him. But, you know, he's got to get on the field. He's got to prove that he's durable. And I think the spring and training camp is going to be so important for 00 just to get more and more comfortable with the scheme and the system. Because remember, early November, he goes on IR designated to return. So he was sidelined. He was watching from the side. He was rehabbing all that time for the last 2 months of the season. That's why this offseason is going to be so key in showing perhaps what type of role he's going to play in the defense and proving to the coaches that he can hold up and compete. That's why I'm very anxious to see him in the spring, more so what he's going to do potentially in week one or week two.
And another guy is Wynn, Kerry Wynn. I think Kerry Wynn takes another step forward. As we know, the starting defensive line is just going to be something fierce, and then the guys that are going to be rotating in and being a part of that line, they're not chopped liver. I mean, so I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this defensive line can do this season.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Dre is in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? Hey, Anita.
Hey.
Anita, you looking good on First Take. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
No problem. Now, here's my thing. I understand. I mean, Landon has a point, but I understand what you're saying in reference to Reese. Want to trust the safeties that he has on the roster. But you can't lose anything by bringing in or at least going after Reggie Nelson. You know, that signed him to a one-year incentive-based contract on the back end. So, you know, if he performs, he makes a pretty decent, money. But the knowledge he can teach all the safeties that's currently on the roster now is invaluable, kind of like a pseudo intro role, you know, because the thing is, yes, we have talent on the safeties, but none of them other than and Collins have played. And the little nuances of playing safety that he can teach all the safeties that's on the roster is invaluable, and I just think that we really need to look at it. And, you know, you can still have Burhey start with Collins and just have the rotation going in so we keep everybody fresh, but the knowledge that Reggie Nelson can pass on, I don't think we need to push that by the wayside, because we're strong in our convictions in reference to having Burhey or Jackson or even Mikel Thompson come on the field and show what they got.
Well, I'm not going to necessarily overlook what you're saying, Dre, but I think you got to keep in mind it's a two-way stream, and I always emphasize this. While it may seem on paper that it's a good fit, if hypothetically, let's say the Giants have every intention to have their young guys, you know, claim the starting jobs and play more so than even a veteran that they bring in, you know, sometimes the veteran just doesn't want to take on a role like that of mentorship. They want to come in, they want to play, and they don't want to necessarily worry about the players behind them. And I'm not saying that that fits the profile of some of the free agents out there, but, you know, we don't know the types of conversations that perhaps the Giants have had with potential veteran safety. Sometimes a player just doesn't want to take on that role, like an Antrell role or like a Deion Grant, who certainly worked with some of the young guys and helped them develop. That's not in everybody's DNA. So that's also important to note, as opposed to just saying, let's go out and grab a veteran because we know immediately we throw him into the mix, he's going to fulfill those responsibilities that we want from him.
That's true, but you also, you know, you learn through it by example. You can learn through his work ethic, how he analyzed film and asked questions, because I know if I'm playing, Lance, if you and I are on the backfield and we're playing, I need to know what you're looking at so I can play it for you. So the questions will be answered. You don't have to actually, you know, come in with the knowledge saying that, yeah, I'm here to teach these guys to do my job. No, I'm here to make these guys think like I do so we can be a cohesive team. It's a case to the rotation, you know. So if, say, Collins goes down and somebody else come in, we're not missing a beat. Everybody's thinking on the same page. So through, you know, through your actions and your preparation, your impromptu teaching these younger safeties to do the job. You know, you don't have to come in here and say, hey, no, I'm going to sign you to a two-year contract, but I need you to teach these guys how to be safeties. No. You know, if I'm a vet, I'm going to take over the safety room anyway, just by my presence and my knowledge, and I can, you know, pick out little nuances and little tricks that quarterbacks do to try to disguise what they're doing to try to get us to reveal what kind of scheme we're running. Those are things that veterans can bring in. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying bring them in just for the purpose of being the tutor, but let these guys see what a veteran safety does to prepare. You know, because the only example they had was Meriwether.
Well, and they also brought in Craig Dahl. Craig Dahl came in late last season because he knew Spags' system. That was one of the reasons why they made that late waiver claim, because that's what happens when teams wind up cutting players that you don't anticipate. And it could be a similar approach where, you know, they see what they've got in the spring. And spring workouts are set to start in April. So, you know, there's going to be time immediately to at least see what you have and see how healthy these guys are. And then you also have time to see if you want to bring in a free agent. Remember, things are slowing down now. It's not like, you know, wildfire here where these free agents are signing left and right. So I'm sure there's still going to be some veteran safeties that are out there that perhaps they may wait, or they may have had initial discussions and say, you know, listen, this is what we're looking for in the spring. After that, you know, we may come back and talk to you. It could be one of those type of situations.
One quick thing. I also see the fact that, you know, just because some of these players have been signed don't necessarily mean that they're going to make the 53. So, you know, I'm waiting to after minicamp and see, you know, who actually makes the 53 and see what's available there also. So I'm not at the, you know, at no stretch by imagination do I think this is all over. But I feel, you know, I know there are cuts that are still coming on because right now they're building up to 90 and then they'll drop it down to 53. So I fully understand that there will be available players out there that can contribute if, you know, they fit our scheme and what we're looking for. But, again, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Dre. Thanks so much for weighing in here.
I mean, that's important to note. Listen, you know, it's not done yet. Especially, keep in mind, you know, once you go into training camp and rosters start shaving, it happens each and every year, right? There's certain guys there's certain teams that are just really, really deep at a position that they're going to have to cut a player that they don't necessarily want to cut. To possibly come in. So, you know, to say that this is going to be the safety squad and this is what the Giants are going to be working with, you know, it's false right now. There is potential for them to go out and bring somebody else in.
The roster is always fluid.
Whether it's now, whether it's a week from now, and whether it's you know, over training camp as rosters diminish and other guys get cut. You never know, you know? I mean, look, not to say that the Giants are going to bring him back, but I read yesterday the Ravens just cut Will Hill.
Well, I doubt that.
Again, not to say the Giants are going to bring him back, but I'm just saying, like, guys get cut all the time. So, you know, it's a fluid system right now. And that's what's so intriguing. But the excitement of the start of free agency and all that the Giants did, yeah, I mean, it's tapered down a bit.
Which it's
That's
tapered
for sure.
down, though, across the league, I would mm-hmm. argue. I mean, everybody the first 2 days was aggressive, and then now you get maybe two or three free agents every day that signed. But, I mean, that's the script that we've seen every single season. It's no different this year.
Now based on what the Giants were able to do in free agency, have you guys gotten into, you know, draft-wise, like in regard to the calls that you're getting from Giants fans? Because obviously it's a much different conversation now than it was then in regard to needs. So now are Giants fans who are calling into the show, whenever you do talk about the draft, is it more now the areas that the Giants did not address in free agency, or do Giants fans still want them to go after like a solid defensive lineman? Like what has been the response after they've gone out and brought in all these talented players in free agency?
Well, I think the opinions have been across the board. People have weighed in on those topics in terms of position and even still targeting specific players. But I don't know how much bringing in two defensive linemen in a corner has really changed the script that much, considering I think there's going to be viable players at number 10 still on defense to provide depth, as we talked about at the top of the show, as opposed to worrying about they should go after this specific player. I think the opinions have varied across the board, and I'm sure they will continue to vary across the board.
Yeah, I'm a big linebacker from UCLA.
Miles Jack.
I'm a big Miles Jack fan. I don't believe he's going to be there at 10, but that's a guy that, my goodness, if he is, wow, how exciting would that be?
Well, I think he's a great player. I'm just go back to the track record here. The Giants haven't selected a linebacker in the first round since 1984, which has been quite some time. So until that trend changes.
This guy's special. This is the kind of player doesn't come around that often. This guy's really, really, really unique, very special. Heck, could play running back if you needed him to.
Well, that's why I'd be surprised if he's even there
beyond,
at 10.
He's beyond a linebacker. I mean, he's a playmaker. You put him in the game, just his nickname will be Slash. I mean, you could put him anywhere. And heck, have him play quarterback if anything happens to Eli. I mean, that's how talented this kid is.
Well, he plays out of the slot a lot, too, which is impressive. He can actually, you know, cover wide receivers and so forth and tight ends, which is quite rare, considering you have a variety of different players that certainly are going to go about their business and lining up on offense and so forth in terms of the makeup and the breakdown of all of these different schemes. So you could use some versatility on defense. Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, hi, Anita, Aaron, Lance. There,
hi.
How we doing, Joe?
Good, good. It's hard getting through sometimes, so I couldn't get through for a while.
But glad to have you now.
You mentioned earlier about New England with the tight ends. You just look back who they had before, the guy that went to prison. I forget his name. So if you want to see how good they will be, they'll just look at that. You know what I mean? I forget his name.
Aaron Hernandez, you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. So, and I think someone said with Will Hill that he's going to be suspended or was going to be for 10 games. So,
yeah.
And also, I think today I was just watching some highlights at 5 or 5:30, I guess, on the NFL Network. They're going to have the Giants and Carolina's game. You know, they were saying it was one of the best of last year. And in that game, I guess, with all the Odell, all his penalties and that, now I guess the league is going to have two personal fouls, I think, and possibly you're out. So.
Well, they're having those discussions. Roger Goodell and company have thrown that out. I'm sure the competition committee will address that in terms of what happens during the offseason. Joe, listen, I hate to cut you short here, but we got a special guest on the line. So if you want to hold on, we'll get back to your phone call a little bit later on. But right now, we are joined by Stephen Miller, the head football coach at Coahoma Community College in Mississippi. He was just recently named the head coach there earlier this year. And he has a connection to one of the newest members of the Giants defensive line, Damon Snacks Harrison, as he was his defensive line coach at William Penn University and has also served as his mentor during the course of his football career. Coach, greatly appreciate the time. Lance Meadow, Anita Marks with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Giants.com. How's everything?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we greatly appreciate the time and the insight that you'll provide here. And before we get into the very interesting story and the development of Damon Snacks Harrison, when you heard the news that he was able to get a lucrative contract from the New York Giants in his first shot at being an NFL free agent, what was your reaction?
Well, I was excited for him. It was expected. I mean, well-deserved for Dame to receive such a contract offer, and the Giants are going to get a great player. They know that, and that's not a shock to me or anybody else in Dame's life and circle.
Well, talk about, kind of share with us, like, you know, that process. You know, this is a guy that went undrafted, came in, really made a name for himself with the Jets, and then, as you said, well-deserved, no doubt about it. I know the Jets wanted to keep him. Obviously, they couldn't. But what was he going through in regard to free agency and getting the call from the Giants and wanting to come here? Kind of share with us some of those conversations you had with him and how exciting free agency was for him.
Well, everyone knows Dame. He's the hard worker, and he takes what God gives him. He knew he was putting in his best effort to his contract was up and he was going to be a free agent. He put his best effort forward on the field this season. And it showed in the stats with him being, you know, being a Pro Bowler. But the process he had, he kept faith. He kept the faith that, you know, that he was going to get an opportunity to continue his NFL career with the Jets or with somebody else. And I just think things worked out for him. He knew it would. He just kept the faith and just did what he needed to do during the 2015 season to assure that he would get a contract offer like this.
Coach, Anita mentioned he was undrafted after he did get a lot of NFL hype, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want you to take us back to when you were at Northwest Mississippi Community College, and there's a guy named Damon Harrison in Louisiana that is known for his basketball skill set more so than his football skill set, because I believe he only played in 7 games as a senior in high school, and he was an offensive lineman. How did you learn about Damon Harrison, and what made you the lone coach that actually offered him a scholarship to play college football?
It's just like Dane going to the NFL. He was undrafted going to the NFL. He was unrecruited going into college. Like you said, 7 years, 7 games. We was recruiting the Louisiana area, looking for certain players that we had a radar on. And we came across Dame Harrison in our recruiting process. And just his skill level and height and weight was something that we thought we could develop. And we invited him to campus as a recruiting trip. And pretty much, Dane just took hold to Mississippi. He was in Louisiana, and Katrina had came across, and there's a lot of people branching out to the north part of the state. And Dane ended up falling in our hands on the recruiting trip, and it ended up being we kept recruiting that process, and he chose to come to Northwest Community College in the summer to start his college career.
Now, after he arrived, you brought in some more talent to the team, from what I read, and he ultimately parted ways with the team. What exactly happened when he first joined Northwest Mississippi Community College in terms of trying to make the transfer of his skill set from high school to the college ranks?
Well, once he committed to coming to Northwest, we was in the process of practicing, and we fell across some more Division I prospects fell into our lap at the time, and they happened to play the same position. And in the state of Mississippi, you can only have 8 kids from out the state of Mississippi on your roster. And one young man was placed in our custody, you want to call it. And that caused a little conflict with Dane being a part of our program. At that time, I had already taken a job at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas, when Dane was released from his scholarship in Northwest Community College.
So, Coach, if you can, kind of share with us your thoughts, you know, in regard to, you know, the defensive responsibilities that Snacks had with the Jets, how you think that might change in Spags and the Giants system, the difference 3-4, 4-3, how do you think this is all going to play out? What are your expectations for him as a Giants player now?
Dame entire college career at William Penn University under me was on a 4-2, 4-3 system. So that's where he played his best ball with us. We didn't have him in a 3-4. We never played a 3-4. So playing the nose guard in the A gap to the weak side, he totally dominated NAI. Of course, that's why he is where he is. He dominated. So his 4-3 scheme, that's the only system he'd been in until he got to the Jets. So in high school, they really didn't play a 4-3. He was on offense. And then when he got to William Penn 4 years there, he was in a 4-3, 4-2 system. He's going to do great. He really, really occupies the nose and the guard. He demands a double team from that position. And I'm a big Giants defensive line guy. I like all the guys that played defensive line for the Giants in the past. I'm really a great defensive line guy. I love it. And I think they ain't going to fit perfectly into the New York Giants system. With some of the surrounding players they got already.
Absolutely, with Jonathan Hankins playing next to him and Olivier Vernon and JPP on the ends. On paper, that is a dynamic foursome that the Giants certainly are going to throw out there. Talking with Stephen Miller, the head football coach at Cahoma Community College in Mississippi, was a mentor for Damon Snacks Harrison, who just signed with the Giants, was his defensive line coach at William Penn University in Iowa. You talked about how he was an offensive lineman in high school, and he made the transition to defensive line, and he also put on a lot of weight during the course of his collegiate career. You know, how did he make the transition, Coach, from the offensive line to the defensive line, and how challenging and rare is that from all of your time coaching thus far?
Dane was 250 pounds when we received him at Northwest Community College after playing offensive line. When he played his first game at William Penn in that one-year span after being cut from Northwest and enrolling in William Penn in January, from January to August, he went from 250 to 320. Wow. Before he played his first college football game at William Penn University. He was a very hungry young man in that semester.
Well, from what I understand, I was reading up on him. He actually was a point guard in high school, and he tore his meniscus. And the time that he was down, he gained like 50 pounds, and that's when he decided to give it a go at football. So, you know, this is, you know, obviously you play point guard, you got to be athletic to, you know, to play point guard, and just by him having that little tear in the meniscus, gaining the 50 pounds, he said, why don't I try out some football and look where it's led him. I mean, what a great decision to make off of an injury, right, Coach?
Yeah, Dane went from 200 as a point guard probably and gained the 50 pounds to playing offensive tackle for them 7 games. And then, like I said, he ended up at 320 his first year. And when he was getting scouted by the NFL when they was coming to visit him, at the time they visited him at William Penn, he was at 360. So he played his senior year at William Penn at 360.
Well, Coach, speaking of the weight, 320, 360, and the fact that clearly he was athletic enough to play basketball, how does somebody like Damon Harrison maintain his athleticism to play in the trenches at that type of weight?
Dang, work habit was unbelievable. I mean, he could go in there. He had natural strength. He could go in there and lift weight. He'd never been maxed out or tested before he got to William Penn. So he never met his limitation or expectation until he got to William Penn. We had a great shrink program going. And Dane was always love of basketball, always kept him on the court. So we would practice football, and in the afternoons or late at night, he'll go to the gym and shoot basketball with pick up basketball weighing around 320, 340, and could dunk the basketball 360. I mean, he was that athletic.
You know,
he was that –
No, I didn't mean to cut you off, Coach. I was going to say, speaking of that dunk contest that you brought up, I was reading, and I was hoping you could shed some more light, that Adrian Claiborne, who was a first-round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who was an Iowa defensive lineman, came to the William Penn campus, I believe, and he and Damon Harrison had some type of a basketball competition of some sort?
Well, yeah, Claiborne, he was an Iowa native, and he came to William Penn with the young man that played for the Giants, who rest in peace this past year from Iowa, the defensive back. I can't get his name out right now. He played for the Giants in the Super Bowl from Iowa. He was from Oskaloosa, Iowa, William Penn University in the same town.
Tyler Sash,
they
you're talking
visit.
About.
Yeah, Tyler Sash. And they came to visit our facilities, and they was in there shooting around, and Claiborne was dunking, you know, one-handed, coming down the lane. Dane walked over to the court, and they tossed him the basketball. He came down the lane and did like a 360 and landed down in Claiborne's mouth, dropped to the floor. He did not see a guy weighing 360 pounds dunking a basketball like that.
Unbelievable. So, Coach, are you going to make some trips here to MetLife Stadium to watch Snacks play this coming football season?
I've been to MetLife quite a couple of times with Dan. He invited me up, flew me up and everything. Gave me the red carpet treatment, and I'm definitely going to come and watch the Giants play. I'm a big Giant defensive guy fan anyway. I kind of base a lot of things off of the Giant schemes just because of the defensive pass rushers and Strahan and all the guys in the past. So I really know a lot about their defensive line history. But Dame, he invites me up. I'm a big Raider fan. He knows it. So when the Giants play the Raiders, I'm definitely going to be there.
Well,
but
now
any other trip.
Well, now, Coach, you know, you no doubt you're going to have first class, right?
Oh, first class.
I mean, come on.
I'm first class.
now he's got up his game. So hopefully he'll be flying first class.
Oh yeah, he took care of me. He flew me in, and it was exciting to come to New York. The traffic is bad up there, but. I mean, he treated me. I had a chauffeur. The to show me around the town and restaurants and took me to his home.
That's
he was
nice.
Still doing football. He was doing football things with the Jets, so he wasn't able to spend a lot of time with me at the time. But he made sure that I was taken care of, and it was a great experience coming to the New York area. And I can't wait to come back and go to MetLife Stadium with some red and blue on for the Giants. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no green, Coach. No green.
No green.
Not
no
even,
green.
Can't even wear it to the facility.
Got to
so
change the color routine.
So it's not like we're not celebrating St. Patrick's Day today. We're just it's no green.
No green. They can do it today, St. Patrick's Day, but the rest of the year, 364 days, it's going to be blue and red.
Coach, in terms of seeing his development as a football player from going from playing point guard in high school to not being heavily recruited, offensive lineman to defensive lineman to being selected on the NFL roster with the Jets and ultimately making the team, I mean, how surprised are you in his development and how proud are you to be associated with a player like this who has come so far across his career?
I do a thing every day. I'm so proud of him. Just being with him every day since the day he left Louisiana till he left to go to the Jets, I was with him every day for the last 4 years of my life and his life. And I was just so surprised of the talent level. I never coached an NFL player. Say I have some players that went on to the NFL from high school. But when the scouts was coming in to visit and watch a film on Dane, and I would sit there and watch film, and I would ask each and every individual that came, I said, you tell me you couldn't go to Oklahoma, Miami, USC, Notre Dame, Florida State, Alabama, and find a defensive tackle that's in a Division I program that's equal or better than Dane Harrison at an NAI institution? And they told me, every one of them gave me the same answer. He's a special, unique football player. He's like a diamond in the rough. And that just blew my mind that I had a player that could have probably played at any Division I in the nation at that time playing for me at William Penn University.
Well, speaking of that, I was going to ask, how challenging was it to actually keep him at William Penn, considering I'm sure he received some interest from other Division I schools?
He did. Dane was loyal. He was loyal to me and William Penn and the coaching staff and the university. We gave him the opportunity that he chose to come. You know, it was his choice to come and play for us in Iowa, a small college in Iowa. At that time, he was humble, and he wanted a degree. He wanted a roof over his head. He wanted food. He wanted an opportunity to go further. NFL was the farthest thing from his future when he first came to William Penn. And once he got there and gained the weight and started dominating his freshman year, we got several letters from Division I colleges all over the United States asking him to transfer in with 3 years of eligibility to play. And it was very intriguing for him, you know, to be able to go from a small town in Iowa with 800 students to a school with 17,000 to 25,000 students. He had them opportunity, but he didn't. He didn't. He chose to stay there with us. He was comfortable. He was happy. He was pursuing a degree. And even at that time, NFL never came across his mind. It never came across his mind to junior year when they came out to scout him. So he was very loyal to us. I mean, we would have been happy. Either way, we would have wanted the best for him. But he chose to stay, and it worked out for him.
Talking with Stephen Miller, the head football coach at Cahoma Community College in Mississippi, mentor for Damon Snacks Harrison, was his defensive line coach at William Penn University. Coach, you mentioned he had quite an appetite, and it's well known that Rex Ryan, the Jets head coach, gave him the nickname of Big Snacks. I'm sure you've seen him eat plenty of meals during the course of his collegiate career. Is there any story that comes to mind as to why that nickname is so fitting and why it's so synonymous with Damon Harrison?
Well, that name totally fits his name. when it came out, I was like, that's him. That's him. You know, when Dane first came to William Penn in January, he was 250, like I said. And he had been struggling down there that semester at Northwest Community College, not being on scholarship, not having a scholarship revoked. having to work, you know, try to work and make ends meet while he tried to go to college. So he wasn't eating steak and ribs and all that. He was eating the necessary things he could afford. And when he came to William Penn in January, he transferred in January, Dame Harrison had a meal plan that included three meals a day. And he took advantage of them three meals. He had in that cafeteria for three meals for 1 hour each meal. So a three-hour day, I mean 3 hours in a day, he stayed in the cafeteria and just I don't know the word, he just sat there and just consumed food because it was like it was free, it was there, and it was, and he wanted to eat and take advantage of it and didn't want to waste anything. And he did that for three meals a day for that whole semester. And, of course, he had a bunch of snacks, and I took him to Walmart many days at night to go get snacks from Walmart. So that's why I said his name, Snacks, was perfect. He would go buy all the snacks you can get in Walmart for his night snack when he was in the room at night. So that name, Snacks, they need to carry on with him throughout the Jazz and the rest of his career.
Now, is there any validity or truth to the fact that it's the Rice Krispies treats, Coach, that is his all-time favorite? Or was there a specific snack that he was known for in college?
Can't say it was a specific snack. Normally, he just buy a grocery basket full of stuff, so I can't point out one thing that he bought more than the other. But he definitely bought a lot of snacks. I can't point out in detail which one was his favorite. I never got to that point.
Well, Coach, we greatly appreciate the time and the insight. Best of luck with your new position, by the way, at Cahoma Community College as the head football coach, and really appreciate you sharing and reminiscing about your former player, Damon Harrison. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it. Head coach Stephen Miller at Cahoma Community College in Mississippi, connected with Damon Harrison from high school to college, and now still has a very strong relationship with him here in the pros.
I love stories like that. You know, I love stories where, you know, obviously you've got a number of guys that play in the NFL since, like, you know, birth, have just been kissed by God and with unbelievable talent and have known going through, like, Pop Warner in high school and college that they were going to be a pro athlete and, you know, kick butt and take names. But when you have a player like that, like Snacks, who has had to work really hard, has kind of found his niche just by having a meniscus tear in high school and foregoing playing basketball and taking up the sport of football and then going undrafted, making the most of every opportunity he was given when he did. By the way, he was invited, even though he was undrafted, he was invited to 12 camps that year. And then, of course, he ended up with the Jets. But, you know, nonetheless, like, I just love stories like that. People who, like, persevere and fight and make the most out of whatever opportunities present themselves because they weren't necessarily blessed with the God-given talent. I think they're unique and very special athletes, you know?
Well, he certainly fits that bill, especially the fact that he's also athletic for somebody his size. That, to me, is extremely impressive. And you just heard Coach talk about how, despite putting on all that weight, he still worked out religiously. And that's a big reason why he made it to the NFL. All right, we're going to close up shop with more of your phone calls, and we'll get to your tweets as well. Hashtag Giants Chat, 201-939-4513. Dave, do we still have Joe on the line, or did we lose Joe? We still got Joe. All right, we'll bring Joe back in, and then we'll certainly continue to get to more of your phone calls. Joe, we appreciate you being patient. What's happening?
No problem, and I said we have to be excited the way it's the Giants defensive line showing up there, you know, them Snacks, and what's our other big boy there that they can control the front line? There won't be many holes to run through.
Hankins? And you talking about Hankins?
Yeah, and then with our defensive ends be able to play to run and run these down here, you know. I was saying that Carolina game's on today, and if we would add that front four, you know, it could have made a difference because Cam Newton made a couple big plays on his runs. So, just looking at the draft yet, too, here, you know, what's going to be interesting, I've seen a lot of projections in that, and it showed that Dallas at four, the Eagles at eight, or even the Giants, I've seen all predictions are taking Ezekiel Elliott. And I know we don't need him, But there's a good chance he could end up in our division the way it's starting to look there. I do believe we're going to get a good another good defensive player. I think here Shaq, whatever his last name was,
Shaq Lawson. Yeah. I know that there was some interesting news about his medicals today at the combine that came out. I saw that there were a few reports, so we'll have to see what happens with that in the weeks upcoming. I know he's going to have to go back to Indianapolis. I think he's one of the players who will have some recheckups with respect to his medicals, but he, prior to this news today, was certainly one of the players that I think, if you were to make projections, could very well be around there at number 10 when the Giants select.
Yeah, I was saying, and him or I did perceive the second or third cornerback would be there for us, which we really, I think, need too, to shore up that defense to cover these tight ends yet. So that's all. Thanks for taking my call, and go Giants.
All right, Joe, and appreciate you hanging on to the phone line there. We appreciate we were able to get him back on. Obviously, he called in before the interview. Let's head back to the phone lines. And this is going to be quite a transition, because we're going to go from somebody who actually put some thought process behind what they say when they're brought on here via the phone lines, and now we go to Charlie in Maine. Charlie, we'll let you take it away.
That was a dig.
Well, if you've listened to Charlie enough, you know what I'm talking about.
I'll take the high road, and I'll take the low road. I'll get to Dublin before ye.
Now you know exactly what I was talking about. Charlie, I see you started quite early this afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morning, actually. So, hey, I got so much stuff to say. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's a good thing we only have 5 minutes left on the program.
I know. Is J.R. an eclectic or something? He woke up for one day, and now he's asleep again forever. I mean, my God, you know, we replaced the engine, right? I'm just using the analogy of a car. We just replaced the engine by getting some defensive line help. But the thing is, we're not going anywhere. We have no tires. We don't have any tires. And if we do, we have donut tires on right now. We still need a right tackle. We still need a wide receiver. We still need a safety, for God's sakes, and we need a slot cornerback. Those are our four tires, and we still don't have any tires. You can change the engine, but we ain't going anywhere. JR is not finished. He needs to finish, and I don't understand. We've got so many guys, right tackles that are just going bye-bye and safeties that are going bye-bye, and we're sitting doing nothing. And I just don't get it with him. You know, he wakes up for a day, and then he sleeps for 364. I mean, I gave him a B, you know, and now he's down to a C minus if we don't get any more players. And I know you say, well, wait till, like, you know, in the summer when people cut. That's what we did last year, and we ended up with Dull, and we ended up with Merriweather. How did that work out? Didn't work out very well. So if we're going to do the same thing again, we're going to have problems. We're going to have some big problems in the back end of our defense. Yes, our defense will be better because we'll have a better pass rush, but still, we need a safety and a right tackle. We can't go into this year with Newhouse a right tackle, and who the heck knows who will be our safety. And the other thing, Will Hill, I wish you'd explain this to me. Will Hill has been popped four times, and still he only gets 10-game suspension. Gordon and Bryant, I think they've been popped a couple of times, and they get a whole year. So there's got to be something going on where circumstances that must be really marginal on this guy for them to only give him 10 games, and the last time they only gave him 6 games. He should have been gone for a year or gone forever. So there's got to be something going on that just doesn't meet the eye. Can you explain that to me?
Well, there's the NFL drug program, Charlie, and you get put into the NFL drug program where there's random testing and so forth, and not every test gets reported publicly. So when you're talking about the difference between a Josh Gordon suspension and a Will Hill suspension, it could be that Josh Gordon failed many more tests than Will Hill did, and that's why he's at the stage where he had an entire year suspension, whereas Will Hill is not necessarily at that level. There is what goes on behind closed doors with the test that is not necessarily public knowledge and always reported that gets to the point where you get the year suspension versus you're at maybe level 3 where you get an 8 or a 10-game suspension. There's different levels under the drug program, so I think you got to keep that in mind.
Okay, okay, that's good to know. And the other thing I'm going to say, you know, in our quiver, we have free agency, we have the draft, and we also have trades. Why, you know, a team like the Patriots will trade and get players? They got a great tight end for a fourth-round pick, and they even got a sixth-round pick coming back. Why don't we do stuff like this? Go out and trade for a good safety. Go out and trade. We couldn't have used Bennett and our team. I think we could. We need a tight end who can play both ways. You know, why doesn't JR think in that manner? The only time he did was decent. That was the only time, and that was under necessity, like halfway into the season.
Well, it wasn't halfway. It was less than halfway. It was the first few weeks of the season.
Close.
It was pretty early in the season, Charlie, if you look back at the calendar where John Beeson was acquired.
Four or five games.
It's a fair question. I don't think it's a stretch what you're bringing up, but you have to keep in mind, at least from New England's perspective, remember, the Patriots are without a first-round pick this year because of the suspension and the punishment from Bountygate. I mean, it's Deflategate, excuse me. There's so many different gates. So as a result, they needed to acquire a few more picks because if you don't have a first rounder, I mean, you have to try to make up for that with a second rounder or a fourth rounder. So that is a big reason why I think they've made some trades. The other thing is Chandler Jones, who they parted ways with, he was entering the final year of his contract. And if they felt that they weren't going to re-sign him, instead of losing him for nothing, they could at least get something in return. So I think the New England situation is a little bit unique. When you're looking at it from the Giants' perspective, you know, they have all of their picks for the most part, except for the one that they lost, which is going to be a seventh rounder from a prior trade. And on top of that, you know, the other thing is you have to have players that are going to demand good value in return. You're not just going to trade a player, Charlie, for the sake of trading a player. You want it to yield something in return. So I think you got to look at the Giants roster right now and wonder whether or not, you know, what type of return you're going to get from some of these players. I think those are the types of conversations that you have to have.
Well, you can't give up draft picks. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
If you don't have
I agree
a player,
with you. And New England has surrendered.
A draft pick for
yeah, New England surrendered a draft pick, but they also got something in return to make up for it. I mean, you're not going to cough up a second or a third round pick if you're the Giants right now, and that's extremely valuable to build up your roster.
But I guess what I'm saying is JR doesn't even think in that direction. I mean, it's not even in his, you know, like if we can't find a right tackle in free agency right now, go out and you know, trade for one. Get one. I mean, get the best one. I mean, I think you should do it in free agency because they are available. But another guy just got taken off the board. Smith is gone.
Andre Smith went to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just went to the Vikings. I mean, this, you know, what we got left is Jake Long. That's who we got left. You know, and, you know, he's had another year of having his knee feeling better, so maybe he'll be healthy. But that's the guy we brought in a couple years ago or a year ago. Maybe we'll bring him back. But he's about the only guy left now in free agency to pick up.
Well,
except for Vasquez, but he's a guard.
He's a guard, correct.
Tackle.
Well, you know? Charlie, here's the other thing. You know, you talked about trading for a right tackle. Let's face it. If you're an NFL team and you have a legitimate starting right tackle, you're unlikely going to trade that player unless there's a stalemate from a contractual standpoint. And how many right tackles fit that criteria right now? For example, the Arizona Cardinals traded Jonathan Cooper. Jonathan Cooper wasn't even starting on the Cardinals' offensive line. That's why they were able to part ways with him, because they moved him from tackle to guard. They were going to play him at center next season. So it's a little different when you trade an offensive lineman who is maybe a backup as opposed to trading a starting left tackle and a right tackle. It's very rare that that actually happens. That's why you have to draft them, or you have to maybe think about signing somebody in free agency. Trades are so rare to grab a starting left tackle and a starting right tackle.
I know, but the thing is, we can't go into the draft because we'll reach for somebody, and we'll, you know, say if Stanley falls down, we're going to grab Stanley at 10. But then you have, again, we have a rookie starting at a right tackle position, and we had Flowers last year starting at a left tackle position, and Flowers was the worst friggin' tackle in the whole NFL. He was number 64. So I don't want to see another rookie starting at, you know, at a tackle. We need a veteran on that line to solidify it, because then we're going to have Hart in there, and he's really like a rookie because he didn't even play last year. Well, he played a little, but not a lot. You know, we need a veteran on that right side that can run block, that we can start running the ball. And to me, safety and right tackle is the biggest priority the Giants need. And JR has not addressed it, and I don't think he will. I don't think he will. But anyway, that's all
right,
I got to say. You guys have a great St. Patty Day, and I'll talk to you soon.
You as
Thank
well.
You,
appreciate the phone call, Charlie.
I mean, just to, I understand the concerns at the right tackle position. I understand the concerns in regards to the safety position. But I don't anticipate the Giants reaching for those positions in the first round. I think they've done a lot in free agency. I think the Giants fans have to be absolutely thrilled with what they've done so far in free agency. I don't think they're done tinkering with adding some parts in free agency. Maybe it's just going a lot slower than what some Giants fans would wish. But at the end of the day, I still believe that the philosophy here is best player on the board. Best player on the board.
And depth, you know, to add depth. That's why you get the best player available, because you never know when somebody's going to go down and you never know how contracts are going to play out. I mean, think about that. The Giants did that. Remember when Linval Joseph was set to be a free agent, they drafted Jonathan Hankins the year prior so that they would have somebody in case they couldn't work out a deal with Linval Joseph. There's been a track record of that in place. That's why I always say you can never have enough guys on the defensive line.
Right.
And if they choose to go in that direction with the 10th overall pick, I think that would certainly benefit the team in the long run, more so than reaching maybe for somebody just because, you know, the fans and everybody else says that you have a void there. But we'll continue to obviously speculate about the draft as we move closer to that. We'll have guests who cover different colleges, and they'll provide some insight on the prospects, just like we did yesterday with Ohio State.
And if you missed any of the interview with Miller, who is Snacks's coach in college, go back. Obviously, the show, as always, will be up online. It was a really good interview. The one thing that I'm walking away with is when we asked him about the 3-4-4-3 and what his expectations are from Snacks, and he said he played a 4-3 in college, and he was phenomenal. It was a different change of pace for him playing the 3-4 with the Jets, but 4-3 is – you know, is really his bread and butter. So that was really nice to hear. That was exciting to hear.
That archive will be up a little bit later on Giants.com, as is every version of Big Blue Kickoff Live. And speaking of that, we want to remind you that the show is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So that will wrap up things for us here today.
Before we sign off, are you playing in any pools?
I'm in a few. Yeah.
In a few? So in today, some of the really exciting ones, Seton Hall, Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga over Seton Hall. Who do you have?
I like Gonzaga in that game as well.
Okay. I'm trying to think who else have any kind of fun upsets. Little Rock, Arkansas over Purdue. It's another upset I picked.
I like Purdue. I think Purdue out of the Big Ten has been fairly consistent enough that they should be able to win that game.
I think those are like my only two kind of upsets.
I don't even think there's anything classified as an upset this year, considering the parity in college basketball anyway. It's been so up and down. Really hasn't been a runaway team this year.
But I mean upsets in regards to the seeding. That's all.
Well, that 12-5 matchup is always a popular one, given what's happened in prior.
So that Gonzaga game, that's at 9:50, and the Little Rock, Arkansas, Purdue game is at 4:10. Those are the two, I think, really exciting games to watch today.
Oh, it'll be a busy day, which is well underway as we speak.
So good luck for everybody out there. I'm sure this is like one of my favorite times of the year. So if you're playing in March Madness, good luck. Hopefully all the teams you picked will be winners today.
For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.